This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Just one other thought on Game 1 of the World Series. I said it reminded me of another game, and it wasn't the Kirk Gibson game, although people did show the side-by-sides of the 1988 home run by Gibson and him limping around the bases. And there were clearly some parallels there between him and Freddie Freeman in that moment.
Freddie did leg out a triple earlier in the game.
He did, so yes.
I don't think
Gibson was a pinch hitter coming up to take the one swing. The swing of his life, but the one swing. No, it was actually 1998 Game 1 between the Padres and the Yankees, which was another epic World Series game. Hard to remember that as a Padres fan, knowing how painful it turned out. But that was, of course, the Mark Langston, Tino Martinez Grand Slam game. And, you know, Mark Langston, it wasn't the 10th inning, but he was a starter for the Padres that season, who was brought in instead of what had been a very effective, you know, bullpen by Bruce Bochy in that situation after Kevin Brown had been knocked out. And then they went with, I think, Donnie Wahl, and he got hit around. So the Yankees are rallying. They're coming back in this game.
What was the score?
It was 5-2. Let's see, I got the box score up here. So yeah. It was 5-2 Padres going in, I believe, to the bottom of the seventh inning. Yeah, 5-2 Padres. They knock Kevin Brown out after one out, and then Donnie Wahl comes in, doesn't get either of the batters he faces out. So they bring in Mark Langston, bases loaded, and the rest is history on the, you know, could have got him at the knees on the 2-2 pitch, called it a ball, ends up hitting the grand slam. But the choice to go with the left-handed starting pitcher rather than one of your other, you know, Randy Myers, who was on that team and actually pitched later in that game, you know, was in your bullpen, a really good lefty reliever that season for the Padres, overpaid, but, you know, not a bad relief choice. But he went with the starter there, and it ended up backfiring on the Padres in that situation. They, of course, lost Game 1 and went on to get swept in that series. But that truly was one of the epic World Series games. David Wells against Kevin Brown of all time, with the drama, Tony Gwynn hitting his home run, you know, off the facade there at Yankee Stadium. Terrific game. Not the outcome you were hoping for as a San Diego baseball fan, and felt the same way about Game 1 of this World Series. Terrific game. Not the outcome I particularly was hoping for in that game.
Hey, I just sat there flabbergasted when I saw it. And yeah, man, look, I don't like that team. And several players on that team I don't like. Freddie Freeman, it's kind of hard to dislike Freddie Freeman. He's kind of a goober, there's no doubt. But, you know, I think about what he's been through this season with his kid and almost losing his son. You know, it's pretty special. And then, of course, I'm sitting there after and I see the press conference he does talking about his dad. And I'm like, you bastard, don't you do this to me, Freddie. Don't you pull on this cold, dead heart and the strings that hang from it. And talking about his old man throwing him batting practice and how this moment was for him. And I'm like, ah, what a moment for him. What a moment for Dodger fans. If you happen to be in the house that night and saw that, congratulations. It was a big one. One of the cooler World Series moments that you will see. I say that begrudgingly. Listen, I'm a hater. I'm not an idiot. Okay, I have a massive hater, but I'm not a moron. Like, I get that was pretty awesome to be a part of. Would love to have, love for it to happen to us someday. But in that moment, just dropping the head of the bat right there, Benny, on 92 middle in. It was the minute he hit it, you went, oh, yep, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That's ball,
bat in the
that's
air.
Ball
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
That's a ball game right there.
Yeah, you knew it. You knew it for sure.
Crazy, man.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods. Got a new prize this week if you want to battle Woods in our musical trivia contest in a couple of minutes. We got a couple of tickets for the Aztecs basketball season opener. Another exciting
nice.
Season coming up at Viejas Arena. Those ones are premium chances to get in with the show and everybody as the Aztecs kick off the season next week on November 6th. And you can win them, but you have to take on Woods by calling in at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Have our game coming up.
You will be qualifying to win
correct.
One pair for the week.
Well, I mean, ooh. It's just a week, though. How many people actually do beat Woods? Maybe Woods sweeps the week.
I take him.
And we give him, yeah.
And we just, we give
him
last Friday.
No, no, I want to go. I'll go. If I sweep the week, I get the tickets, Adam. Sorry.
We don't make the rules.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Woods is a
what time's that game
too.
On Wednesday, by the way?
Oh, 7:00 on Wednesday? Yeah. Woods will go for the first 15
minutes. Go for the first 15 minutes. Yeah. It'd be fun.
Yep. So call in now if you want to try to qualify to win the Aztecs basketball tickets. But if you beat Woods, you've got a very good, at most 50-50 chance,
for
I
sure.
would think.
Just want to make sure.
Of winning. But thank you for the clarification. Did to get some good news this weekend.
This was cool.
Jackson Merrill was named the 2024 Players' Choice Award NL Outstanding Rookie. And why that's important, you know, the official Rookie of the Year Award won't be announced.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Until after the World Series when they do their big award show. He already won the Sporting News Rookie of the Year Award. But there is, I think, an extra honor to be chosen by your fellow players as the guy that they thought was the Rookie of the Year. You know, it's always a little bit more meaningful when it's your peers who make the decision.
1,000,000%. I mean, what means more? I clicked that video, and I watched that video, and it started with... Who was the first one? Tyler O'Neill.
I believe he was the first one.
Talking about how clutch Jackson was this year. Then it goes to Chris Sale. And Chris Sale's like, this dude's going to be a problem. He's elite. He's a clutch player. And then it goes to, one, Shohei Ohtani, speaking in Japanese very glowingly of Jackson Merrill. I'm like, you keep his name out of your mouth, number one. I don't need you infecting him with, you know. You know, but
Shohei got in on the early odds for Merrill to win the Rookie of the Year, so he's rooting for him.
But I mean, that's pretty big when the world's biggest star is like, you're a very good player. And then it went to Rhys Hoskins, who I love, was like, this kid's a G. I thought that was a really special moment for Jackson Merrill, and he's a special player, as we all know here. And the cool thing is, the other guys he plays against, they get it too. And I don't know what that means, Benny, as far as I have not gone back and looked at
correlation.
Hey,
yeah,
if you won the Sporting News and you won the MLB, it would feel ridiculous at this point if the greasy writers went in and named Paul Skeens over Jackson Merrill when the players he plays against is like, no, it's him. I love Paul Skeens. I love Paul Skeens, but he doesn't deserve this.
I think, you know, the one that goes down in the history books is the baseball writers one. So that,
which doesn't,
you know,
make any sense.
In that, well, I mean, at least the I don't know how much do the players really?
It's the only explanation.
Watch
now.
Every you know well, games
more than the writers. More than the writers in, you know, you're telling me the guy in
I wouldn't
Cincinnati,
say that that's true.
You tell me the guy in Cincinnati is more well versed on Jackson Merrill than guys that go play against him every day?
Not every day. Maybe twice a season at most, and you don't really watch a ton of other baseball.
Whose words do you value more, Chris Sale's or the Braves beat writer for The Athletic?
Yeah, David O'Brien, I think is his name.
I'm just saying there's certain players, I think, whose opinion I would value a lot, especially like NL West players who saw him a bunch. A guy who maybe played against him on the East Coast once. I don't know how many votes there are.
Why are you actively campaigning against Jackson Merrill?
I'm not campaigning.
Right,
I think the writers should make
you
the same decision.
You always side with the writers because you're a...
I think they should make the same decision as the players.
I do too.
I'm just trying to explain why that award carries at least as much, if not more, weight than the one that the players' award carries.
I think to you, but I think to Jackson, that's the one that matters, I think. Right?
I don't know.
It's not
the big one. If you could only win one, I'd want to win the actual Rookie of the Year. The one that goes down in the history books.
I think it's
nobody's ever remembered the Players' Choice Award winner if there wasn't.
You know what? That's our fault then. We need to do a better job at marketing the one that actually matters from the players, the guys you... What is better than being nominated by your peers?
I do wonder what's the discrepancy between the players' vote and the writers' vote. Is it usually the same?
Well, ask yourself just one question. Would a player have a bias against another player? No, he wouldn't. What would the bias be? You can see why a guy in Pittsburgh would say, oh, it's Paul Skeens, right?
Well, I fully expect the Pittsburgh guy to vote for Paul Skeens.
As do I. But you would see why, you know.
I also fully expect whoever the San Diego voter is to vote for Jackson Merrill. It'll be determined by the other 28
votes. I don't know. We do goofy stuff here all the time, our writers. And I didn't vote for so-and-so to get in. Well, okay. Makes sense. There's more inherent bias in a writer, in my opinion, than there is in a player. What good does it do Rhys Hoskins to be like, it's Jackson Merrill, or it's Paul Skeens? It doesn't do him any good. So, I don't know. I ride with the players.
I mean, you'll have certain players who probably, could not hit Paul Skeens going,
true.
This guy's the greatest
really
pitcher
good.
I've ever seen. and go, I got to vote for him.
Well, Breece Hoskins would be one of those guys.
And then you probably had a bunch of guys who were like, I didn't face Paul Skeens, but do you see what Jackson Merrill did? I know for sure that was valuable to his team. So, you know, there's biases for everybody. Writers and players will have some biases. All right, I see a couple calls in. Let's get to our game. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
All right, I have no idea who is up. Let's see. Caller, who's this? You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Mario. Who's this?
Mario.
Mario. All right. You want to play Take on Woods?
Sure.
Excellent. You are a contestant today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Again, you're playing to qualify for the pair of tickets to the Aztecs basketball season opener on November 6th at Viejas Arena. All you have to do is beat or tie Woods in our five-question musical trivia challenge. I'll even give you the category choices to give you some help here. We've got On the Chessboard. Those are five questions that involve chess pieces and musical songs. We've got Blank Like Blank, titles that feature phrases connected by the word like. And guess what? I've also got Blank Like Blank Part 2. So it's pretty much a choice between A or B here. On the Chessboard, Blank Like Blank, or Blank Like Blank Part 2, Mario.
On the chessboard.
All right, on the chessboard. I finally got someone to take it. All right, set up the pieces. Get ready for a game of chess inside today's game of Take on Woods. All of today's answers have something to do with the classic board game with a history going back more than a millennium. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five, Mario. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time remaining on the clock. First question is our two-second song. Apollo will play some music. You need to identify the song title and the artist to score that point. Are you ready to play, Mario?
Sure.
All right. Think chess pieces. Think chess. On the chessboard, the category. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Mario. Let's take on Woods.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet.
Oh, man, I know it's Queen. I don't know the
name. Pass. With her backing band, The Pips, which artist is best known for classics like Midnight Train to Georgia?
Pass.
Lucille is the name of which blues legend gave to all of his guitars, usually Black Gibson models?
B.B. King.
Correct. Which artist's 1976 single, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, can be heard on movie soundtracks, including Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and Boogie Nights?
Pass.
Which song from the Broadway musical Chess turned into a 1980s hit for English actor and singer Murray Head?
Pass.
Go back to our two-second song. You just need the title. Time is up. I think we just got one there. We got B.B. King. That was Killer Queen by Queen. You knew the band, Mario. Gladys Knight and the Pips. Elvin Bishop, Fooled Around and Fell in Love. And One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head is the chess song. So you got Queen, Knight, King, Bishop, and One Night in Bangkok. Our chessboard category. All right, Mario, your score is locked in. Don't know if it'll be enough against Woods. Yoo-hoo! He is on his phone. He is locked in, probably reading tweets. You reading some tweets out there? What you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
On the X machine. All right, Mario's score is locked in.
Adam did say if I sweep the week, I can have the tickets, which is probably illegal.
Probably.
But
all right, the pressure is on. Mario's score is locked in. No category for Woods. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Mario.
She keeps him away. It's Queen, and the name of the song is... I'll come back to it.
With her backing band, The Pips, which artist...
Gladys Knight.
Correct. Lucille is the name which blues legend gave to all of his guitars.
B.B.
Correct. Which artist's 1976 single, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, can be heard on movie soundtracks, including Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and Boogie Nights.
You're looking for the artist?
Yes.
Fooled Around and Fell in Love.
Good song.
Bitch. All right, pass.
Which song from the Broadway musical Chess turned into a 1980s hit for English actor and singer Murray Head?
What is the category? The Queen song is...
Go back to the song.
What the hell? I'm done.
Which artist's 1976 single "Fooled Around"? You know, just the two, and you sneak out a 2-1 win. Tough category.
Thank God.
It's been sitting there for like 3 weeks.
Give me the name of the category.
On the chessboard, you had B.B. King and Gladys Knight.
Okay, so the Queen song is... What is it? It's going to drive me
Killer
crazy.
Queen.
Killer Queen.
By Queen.
Okay.
So Queen, Knight, King. Fooled Around and Fell in Love is Elvin Bishop.
I would have forgotten that.
And then One Night in Bangkok is Chess, the musical.
That's you love that song.
I know. It all ties together with the board game of chess in that category. You did sneak out the win, so you're still alive for your Aztecs tickets at the end of the week.
God.
We'll have another game tomorrow, see if
my
we can qualify ourselves.
Bro, that was like on the cusp of all of them.
People have avoided that category like the plague for weeks.
Well, good for him for trying.
But Mario gave it a try, and unfortunately came up just a little bit short. He was close. He got Queen, too. Couldn't think of the name of the song, just like you. I think Gladys Knight was the only difference in that one.
Thank God.
All right, Woods is... we may have to double. Don't do this. Like the first ever double.
Where do we start?
Double DDT today.
I mean, so many. We got.
We'll just keep going until we run out. I think
we've got a. We've got a statue reveal that happened yesterday that just laid me out. I mean, it's radio, but we also are on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, if you haven't seen it, it's unbelievable.
We have a quarterback who's never going to live down a decision in a moment.
Never
from game yesterday.
Imagine
ever.
If I was a quarterback.
Yes.
What I would say after a game. I mean, it is just incredible.
And how the turntables have turned on a defensive player in the Chicago-Washington game in about, I don't know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds max?
The it's moment unreal. Of the day in sports yesterday, bar none. All coming up next with Ben and Woods and Murray Head on San Diego's number one sports station after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we had a lot to choose from. We've narrowed it down to three just in service of time this morning. Don't do this.
We had to push one to the Rindle Report. I mean, there's so much to get to today. No do this today, by the way. These are all don't do this. But yesterday, the Miami Heat unveiled a statue of their best player of all time in Dwayne Wade. And
I mean, there was LeBron played for them as well. But I think... The one that is most identified with the Heat.
This is D-Wade.
Yeah.
And, they unveiled it, and he was there for the unveiling. And he stood there with his hands folded in front of him and kind of walked around it and looked. And when they did the close-up, you know, the body looks okay, I'd say. And then you get to the face, and, well, it looks like a 90-year-old man. His head on the face of D-Wade's body. It is.
I think it's scary.
Very scary.
It looks horrible. And I thought to myself,
you know, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when his face starts melting off at the end, it's like in the first stage of his face melting off because he just looked at the ark.
He looks like the zombie in I Am Legend.
Yeah, somebody said it looks like Jimmy Kimmel when he did Carl Malone, and that's pretty dead on. What a feeling that must be. We all saw, we remember Ronaldo's statue. It was terrible. I don't know what's happening to statue makers, but they've fallen off.
They're all on drugs.
They've all fallen off.
Is it a field or an industry that is attracting
the best talent?
I mean, in the old days, there probably were a lot of really great statue makers.
Sculptors and whatnot.
nowadays with all the digital art and stuff, I'm just not, sculpting may be a dying art form.
There's got to be a way to with all the technology you have now, you need to be able to plug in somebody's face to a computer and it goes and chisels it for you.
Yeah, like a 3D. Let's just do 3D printing. Instead of like bronze sculpture, it's just 3D print stuff and, you know, replace it every year or two or whatever it's made out of.
It's a tough
plastic.
Look,
it's fine.
Well, I ask you the question. Would you rather have no statue at all or a statue like that? I'm going with no statue at all.
I mean, yeah. we have a painting of us. It didn't go very well.
If we had a statue and that was what they used, I would say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass. It's so bad. Poor D-Way. And you got to stand up there and be like, oh, this is, what a great honor to look like somebody that
Where
doesn't
is that
even look
painting
like
of Ben and Woods nowadays? Anyway.
Do you still have it?
I never had it. No.
I thought you had it.
Mm-mm. No.
Does Craig Elston have it?
Craig may have it.
He may have stolen it from the old station.
Amongst other things that he stole. He walked out of there with like $50,000 worth of equipment as well. So he like showed me the trunk of his car that day. Well, you're set for life. Yeah, he may have it. I have no idea. I don't ever want to see it again.
All right. I'm probably going to put it up on the
screen. Yeah, great.
As Polly looks that up, I've got a very questionable moment for a quarterback yesterday. That would be, there's the picture of you, me, and that's not Paul.
That's me fresh off of my my Golden Gloves debut that I got punched right in the nose, apparently. You got to be kidding me.
Ben's eyes are about an inch apart.
They're not level.
I am the ugliest human alive.
Sloth from the Goonies.
You are a cherub. You look like a little fat cherub.
The lobby of our old radio station.
Yeah, us with Darren and everybody
else. Jim Rome had one. Darren Smith.
Hell yeah.
And then
Joe Tatino's never looked better.
Never.
But the two of us are.
I feel like Joe might have been the one that painted it, to be honest with you. I think he was the actual painter.
He certainly organized it.
All right, Anthony Richardson,
fat little cherub Ben
of the Indianapolis Colts. They were visiting the Houston Texans, third quarter, trying to drive his team to a score in Houston territory. First down, scrambles around. Second down, scrambles around again. Second and goal, ends up shaking off a sack, but ultimately gets tackled for no gain. And then does the thing where you tap your helmet, which is a sign to the, hey, I need to come out of the game, like something happened. And immediate speculation was an injury. They showed replays. They look, oh, didn't see it there. Didn't see it there. You know, what's going on here? Why is your starting quarterback in the red zone in the third quarter coming out of a game in a key situation? And he was asked about it in his post-game news conference.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
I was tired.
He's tired. Loves a lot of running, and he did do a lot of running.
He did. If you're Anthony Richardson, you're supposed to be conditioned for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
All right, in one sense, you go, all right, I know I'm not at my best here, so I want to give the team the better chance to win. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna tap out. The problem is that you're putting in this case, it was Joe Flacco, who's fine quarterback, but you can't really expect him to come in without any warm-ups. There's no injury, so he's just got to run in there while the clock is ticking. And so they do what they have to do. They just give a give-up handoff to Jonathan Taylor and settle for the field goal, which is fine. They got within 7 points there. But I don't think there's many quarterbacks in the NFL or NFL history who have tapped out of game just because they ran around and scrambled too much the previous two plays.
I'm dead, dude. I mean, that's like,
you know, you get through one more play. It's third and goal. You get through one more play. You're coming off the sidelines.
You get a breather.
One way or the other. You're getting a breather in one more play.
Bro,
you can't suck it up for one more play.
What is sports radio in Indianapolis?
They ended up winning.
No,
they lost.
They backdoor covered on a late touchdown because that was my pick. Texans -5.
Yeah, I lost on that one.
And they scored a touchdown to pull within three, but never had a chance to win it. It's always that frustrating loss on the backdoor. cover loss, but yeah, they did lose the
Texans
game.
Texans have the lead. They have a 3-point lead with like 2 minutes to go, and you're like, oh, they're just going to run the clock out. You bastard! Yeah. Score! Field goal!
Gets us the win! No, yeah. No cares about covering for us, Molly.
0%. Yeah, it's a fun one that they're going to have some fun with this morning in Indianapolis. I promise you. We do appreciate honesty and frankness from our athletes until we don't.
Yeah,
until it's like, all right, well, there's...
Like, never mind. Just tell me, Coach,
I tweet something on that play, and then it was fine a few minutes later, but I tweet something.
Yeah, I had my knee.
Yeah. You just caught for a second. Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure I was all right. It's tough. That's something my Pinto leaguers would do. Right, like, they come off the field in the middle of a game. Where are you going? Oh, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, it's two outs. You can't wait? No, I'm going to go pee. All right. See you later. But they're six. They're six. Yeah, they're not grown men.
It's definitely a lesson that their parents have taught. Hey, you got to go.
You got to go. You got to go.
Go now.
100%. And I'll get us wrapped up on Don't Do This Today with something that just can't happen. And you talk about Indianapolis sports radio this morning. How about Chicago sports radio? Game in hand. One play left for the...
Well, before that, give one at least minor DDT for them running a goal line refrigerator Perry style play that turned into a fumble when they could have added, you know, a touchdown that they didn't end up scoring, and turned out that they needed really badly at the end of the game.
The Bears.
Yeah, one of the worst offensive play calls at the goal line, giving it to a guy who's not a ball carrier, who fumbles it, does not get the handoff at the one, going, what are you doing? But then, of course, there's this at the end of the game after they do score and take the lead.
Yeah, game still in hand, and they're feeling pretty good about their chances. Washington, the Commanders are going to need a Hail Mary to win this game. And they drop back, and they sling it down the field, and it ends, right? Hail Mary. What you didn't maybe see on the television that you got, somebody actually took a video from a luxury suite, and if you look to the left bottom corner, there is Chicago Bears cornerback Tyreek Stevenson, who is in the end zone, essentially dancing, waving, gyrating, having a ball, going after fans, you know, in Washington.
He's taunting.
Taunting, saying, look, we're about to win this game. Yeah, keep it up.
Well, the play has already snapped behind him.
And he's still batting his arms.
He's got his back to the play. And they drop that look.
Wide receivers are running, he's still yelling.
Quarterback is back with the ball. About to sling it. His back.
Look how far the wide receivers have moved by the time that he turns and realizes, oh, F word.
They're at the 30. They're at the 30. They got 30 yards, and they are going full bore.
Oh, wait.
He turns around. He goes, oh, God. So then he kind of runs to the side.
He gets back in the play,
but here's the problem.
Oh, does he get back in the play?
He gets back in the play.
There he goes, all the way to this. There he jumps in, tips it up right to Noah Brown for the game-winning Hail Mary reception in the end zone.
He's the one. He tipped it in to the Commanders player to score the touchdown. Now, he went to Twitter after. He knows he screwed up. He said to Chicago and teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. Game ain't over till zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Good for you. You owned it. You move on. But, man, that's such a huge, huge mistake. Oof. Oh, it's funny. It's funny to see if you don't care about either team.
Oh, yeah. So, I missed this live.
I was watching it.
I have Red Zone on all day. They missed it.
Oh, no. I switched over. That's why I switched over
Red
to
Zone,
the game.
When you get through the afternoon games, when they get down to one game remaining, they have to cut away.
Yeah. And I switched it to CBS.
And they say
CBS.
Switch it to your local CBS or your local Fox affiliate. And then they play the montage of every touchdown from the day. I wasn't really paying that close of attention, so I just let the montage of touchdowns run when they said, we're going to let you switch to your local station to finish the end of the Commanders game. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like on Instagram, and it's like, Hail Mary winner! And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Since we didn't have a doo-doo this, I got a quick one.
DD mega doo-doo.
How about the final call of that Hail Mary
please.
From the Commanders
I haven't heard this yet.
Radio booth?
Steps up, fires, heads towards the end zone. It is...
Touchdown! Chaos. chaos, man.
Might as well be in Korean for all we could chaos. Understand what
literal,
they were screaming.
Literal chaos.
And right just there. The added bonus that Dan Snyder had to sell the team this offseason. Yeah. Now they're finally playing well without
so
him. Just, it's so beautiful. And that was a lot of don't and a little do-do this on a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We can get back to some more football talk at some point. There were some other big games yesterday. A lot of fantastic finishes in the NFL. But when we come back, game two of the World Series on Saturday, the injury to Shohei Ohtani and what effect it may have on the series going forward. We'll talk about all of that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just had Ben explain bananas to Woods during the break.
Not bananas per se.
Because you're eating yours. Hey, Woods walks in and he's eating his banana, which he does a lot. And he goes, this is the ripest banana I have ever eaten.
No.
He goes, it's tasteless. It's hard. I love it. I think Woods, what you mean is you're eating an unripe banana.
Right. I think that's true.
Now, I do not like overripe bananas that become mushy and brown. Those are disgusting. But a ripe banana should be somewhat soft and, you know, flavorful like a banana. You're eating one that hasn't really fully ripened yet.
Which is my favorite kind. It has zero taste. It is as hard as a rock. And you just get the benefits of it. Because I don't particularly... If there's one brown spot on a banana, I'm like, throw it away. So I've realized the older I get, this is more of an 8 o'clock segment, but if my fruit isn't rock hard, I don't want it. If the grape has any give whatsoever, I like my grapes.
But all the flavor comes after a few days once it starts. Like a peach, you don't want it to be
as hard as
like,
a rock.
Like apple
like
texture.
A baseball. Yes.
It should be juicy and the juices are dripping down your chin when you take a bite. That's that's the great fruitiness of it.
You bite into that peach and it goes
yes.
It's all mushy.
That's,
no,
that's
dude.
Called
it's
a right. That's right.
That's right.
It's furry.
That's how it's supposed
furry
to be.
And mushy. Disgusting.
Like a pear has to soften up a bit.
No.
You can't eat it.
The harder
when it's
the better.
Like a rock.
Oh, like a Benny. I'm telling you.
As much as you love fruit, just imagine if you were eating ripe fruit.
I love
this
fruit.
Whole time.
But I like the benefits.
Picture like
of
an
it.
Avocado. You can't eat an avocado when it's first.
I don't eat them either. Either way,
you know, it's so. Like you buy it at the store. It's hard as a rock. You got to wait a few days.
No, I don't eat it.
And you've got that 5 minute window between when it's still not ripe and when it's gone way too far and turned mushy brown. When it's absolutely perfect.
When I bite into like if I eat watermelon or pineapple, it has to be. Firm. My grapes I spend a fortune on our grapes. I go to the fancy Lazy Acres to get them. They are the size of a Callaway golf ball, and you could hit them off a tee, and they would go, I'm telling you.
More than one bite? You can like
double
two bites of a grape?
Like a little apple. The apples that I get, they have to be rock hard. No mushiness. Yeah,
apples
in my
should
fruit.
Be,
yeah,
apples
apple
should
not
rock
be mushy. Hard.
Rock hard. No. Rock hard, always better. Always.
Not always.
Always. And for me, the only way I can eat fruit is if it's just as firm.
You want it to visit West Coast Men's Health before
yeah,
you eat it.
Yeah, I want it. I want it firm and hard every time.
That's
this
not
guy,
right.
Chris says, I'm with Woods, and I'm a generational.
Unripe.
He's a generational fruit farmer. I love fruit. God, I do. But it's got to be hard as a rock.
Just eat the pit, then.
No, I don't like
that's
the pits.
Really hard.
Right. I don't like the pits. I just like it hard.
All right.
Firm.
Game two of the World Series on Saturday night came with a potentially pivotal moment in the seventh inning when Shohei Ohtani attempted to steal second. We will get into that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, game two, not quite as thrilling as game one, but that was a pretty high bar as far as World Series excitement goes. Still not a... Not a bad game at all. As the Dodgers and Yankees trade early home runs, Tommy Edman goes deep off Carlos Rodon in the bottom of the second. Juan Soto answers in the top of the third with a solo home run, but that was the only hit allowed by Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who really turned things around after his first performance against the Padres and has been every bit the $325 million pitcher now for the Dodgers this postseason.
He was outstanding. outstanding. And they, again, could not do anything off of him, Benny. One hit allowed. He went 6 1/3. One hit, one run, one earned run, two walks, four Ks. Was outstanding. And you look at that and you go, okay, because I'll be honest, man, watching him pitch this season, especially the Padres roughed him up, you're looking at that. And if you're a Dodger fan, I saw a lot of Dodger fans going, I cannot believe $325 million gets us this guy. And how he's pitched in the playoffs, that one start against us, notwithstanding, he looks like an ace, and he looks like a really, really confident pitcher, and you now get it. When he comes out, first pitch he throws is 98, and you're like, oh, man, all right, we're on tonight. And he just shut him down. He really did. And Rendon, I mean, look, 3 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned, gave up the 3 home runs. The long ball is what got him. But the Yankees bullpen was outstanding that night. And the Dodgers' bullpen is actually the one that blinked.
There really wasn't much going on in that game between the back-to-back homers by Teoscar Hernandez, Freddie Freeman in the bottom of the third, and then stayed all that way until the ninth inning when the Yankees did finally get the Dodgers' bullpen to give a little bit of ground. As Blake Treinen is in there, it's his second inning of work,
yep.
And he comes in, and
he threw the night before, too.
And he allows four of the first five New York Yankees to reach base.
And it's 4-1.
And, you know, so, and they score on the
the missile by Stanton.
Yeah.
The missile that hit third base.
Which makes it 4-2. And really, I thought the key, though, is they got all four of those batters on. The one who didn't, though, once again,
Aaron Judge,
who struck out in the middle of that rally.
It's brutal.
You know, everyone else is hitting, and Aaron Judge continues to struggle. Now, World Series, 6-for-40 in the postseason with 19 strikeouts. It's not impossible to win when your best player is slumping a bit.
Pretty close.
But it makes it really, really hard. And without Aaron Judge even being anything like MVP Aaron Judge, Yankees have been in a lot of trouble. And I thought it most showed up in that inning when everyone around him is hitting.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do his part in the ninth inning in game two.
Yeah, it's horrific to see. Judge is one of the more, I think, likable guys in Major League Baseball. Does it the right way, plays the game the right way, always says the right thing. You know, we talked to Jake Mintz on Friday about his serene, you know, calm, doesn't slam his helmet, doesn't get worked up, and other guys feed off of that. But at some point, you have to come through. And I was texting our guest at 8:35, Skip Schumacher, about it this weekend. I said, this it has to be studied. I don't know what it is. I've done a little digging this weekend on his swing. I know he has his own swing coach. It looks like he's just getting exposed right now, Benny, and he is unable to make any sort of adjustment to anything down. I mean, Cameron Maben tweeted, Judge needs to look up in the zone and keep his focus up in the zone and spit on everything down. Obviously, it's easier said than done. He missed a hanger from Treinen the night before. He's missing pitches. The one that got me, man, that blew my hair back, is he's grinding out an AB. It is 2-0. It's him against Yamamoto. It is 2-0. He spit on two curveballs. Yamamoto pumps 95 right down Broadway. And what does he do? He spits on it. And that just tells me he's not in this, man. His head is, and I texted Skip and I said, this for him has to feel like he is in a raft going over the falls. And you're just looking down and you're like, I know it's coming. He gets two strikes on him quicker than anybody I've ever seen. Swings at two spinners. And just is done.
Yeah,
he's done.
And while Ohtani hasn't been like full-fledged Ohtani locked in, he's had enough moments
that have
helped the Dodgers win games. And
100%.
Judge just really hasn't.
He's not done.
That's
really
been the difference. Stanton has done more than enough. You know, he's been amazing. Soto has done enough and gotten the job done.
Chisholm's starting to step up a little bit.
It's Judge
bit, right?
Who really is coming up short for the Yankees in this postseason.
Well,
now,
they're as top of heavy as a lineup. Remember us in 23, you know, if the top doesn't get it done, we are done for.
And that's what killed the Yankees, because they get to the bottom of the lineup and Treinen bounces back and strikes out Volpe with the bases loaded. And then they go to the bullpen, you know, get the machinations. Alex Vesia comes out. Aaron Boone counters with Alex Trevino to pinch hit. I thought maybe he had gapped it when he made contact, but it kind of died out there. Caught in center field, and that's the end of the game as the Yankees leave the tying and go-ahead runs on base in the ninth inning to fall behind 2-0 a hole that is going to be, oh, I mean, you got to beat the Dodgers 4 out of 5 now.
Yeah.
No one ever wants to be in that situation. The one thing that they can look at and go, but what is the status of Shohei Ohtani
right
after the seventh inning stolen base attempt, thrown out at second, and puts his left hand into the ground and injures his shoulder? Now, you know, they call it a subluxation, a partial dislocation, something that
we know it very well here, don't we?
Could, yeah. Fernando Tatis Jr. dealt with it for the entire 2021 season, was
Xander?
It? The subluxation, that he played through it, though. You know, he was able to swing through it and be okay, but he certainly wasn't 100%. They say yesterday, Dave Roberts said he felt better, expects him to play, won't know for sure until today, but you can't really believe anything Dave Roberts says this postseason.
No.
He has been less than forthcoming. He has outright lied and deceived a number of occasions. So would it shock anybody if Shohei was not in the lineup? Wouldn't shock me today if he was not in the lineup for Game 3 tonight. And if he is not there, it definitely changes the equation. I would still say the Dodgers are the favorites with a 2-0 lead. Even if you told me Shohei Ohtani is out for the rest of the playoffs, they're still the favorites to win, but it gives the Yankees at least that, you know, crack in the door maybe to come back in the series.
Yeah, I mean, look, the required viewing for me, if I was Aaron Boone, I would have made everybody on the plane watch the new Netflix documentary of the comeback of when the Red Sox came back and beat the Yankees after being down 3-0. I would have said, you're watching this. Watch this. Do what they did. But, Ben, you don't have to win 4 or 5 against the Dodgers. You need to win tonight.
Win tonight.
You got to win tonight.
Well, you have to win tonight.
That's it.
You don't want to go down 3-0. Walker Buehler against Clark Schmidt, 5:08 first pitch. And a virtual must win for the New York Yankees in Game 3. All right, we'll come back. Skip Schumacher will talk some baseball with us in our 8 o'clock hour, all coming up next year with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.